This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
In the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris down in Florida, taking care of some business. So, Jeremy, I thought you were giving me a joke, one of your dad jokes just now.
When?
Just now.
What? What did I say?
You said that Juan Soto is a Gold Glove finalist.
Oh, Jesus.
I thought that was one of your dad jokes. I was great. I was waiting for Joe's reaction, not the rim shot, the other one.
If my grandmother here, she'd go, oh, Lord Jesus, how did they do this? How did they? Are you kidding me? Like, does it not count as an error if he runs in 10 feet and realizes it's going over his head? What would make, like, it would make more sense if his gold was bronze, or if it was actually, or his glove was actually bronze or gold and solid, because I joke all the time, like, was he bringing a wood glove to the, because he can't catch. He can't, how the hell does this cat wind up, look, Silver Slugger hitting, beautiful. He's amazing. He's a wonderful, wonderful player. Until you put his ass out in right field, he's a damn butcher.
Hey, Joe, you know when Jeremy's upset, you know how you know? He doesn't finish a sentence. So, are you kidding me?
When I read that, I went. So I was saying to Rob before the show started, like when Rafael Palmeiro won the Gold Glove at first base and he played like 18 games there, everybody's going, that's ridiculous. But you said probably the best thing.
Well, at least he didn't play enough to let you know he was bad.
Yeah.
Like Soto did.
I'm not telling you, like, I am telling you, Juan Soto's a bad outfielder. Like, there is no reason whatsoever this guy should ever get a gold glove. It's like looking at our team and saying, you know what? Yeah, I know you weren't hitting that well, but let's go ahead and give James McCann the Silver Slugger Award at catcher. Well, why? Because remember, you got a couple really nice hits this year. But there's 20 catchers that have better batting averages, more hits. Yeah, but no, we're going to give it to him. What on earth did you see from Juan Soto in right field? Because you're not just saying he wasn't bad. You're telling me he was good.
What Jeremy is alluding to is in 1999, and this is when you win a gold glove off of reputation.
Yeah.
Rafael Palmeiro had won five consecutive gold gloves. Five consecutive. And in 1999, he got one and he played 28 games. At first base, 28.
Is that what it was, 28? I said 18. Yeah. But that's not enough. That's not enough to
Still
win
not
it.
Enough.
No. He would have had
128 at DH.
What was that Will Smith movie where he was going looking for a job and he got arrested while he was painting and he comes in with Pursuit of Happiness. Thank you, Joe.
I didn't see that.
So no, it's funny where he goes in for a job interview and he really wants his job. He's trying to provide for his son. And he just got arrested, and he gets out the next morning. He sprints to this job interview wearing what he was wearing. Just everything was messed up. And he goes, what if I told you a guy came to a job interview with a really not wearing a shirt, and why should we hire him? What would you say if we hired him? And then he just goes, well, he must have had on some really nice pants. You know, like there has to be some reasons that you're telling me that this guy should win this award. I don't see anything, or even be nominated. Like, it's not, this doesn't make any sense.
Well, in order to win it, you have to be a finalist. The problem is, it's not nominated, this is a finalist. There's a difference. I mean, they went through the process.
Yeah.
And he was one of the the three best right fielders.
For example, like when we're looking at certain Dalton Varsho, Stephen Kwan, all these guys are really good outfielders. If they win the award, I can't argue it. You know, if they would have won, because they've won it in years past. You're looking at, I think Cedric Mullins is the best defensive center fielder in all of baseball. In all of baseball. How he doesn't get nominated, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not telling you the guy's got to win because I know there's semantics and there's voting and people like to vote for the bigger names. But come on, man. There's a highlight reel of Juan Soto running the wrong way on a fly ball.
I know.
There's like multiple times
this
year.
That guy can't be a Gold Glove.
So you can't call it an error because he didn't touch the ball because he was so bad at his job.
Speaking of come on, man, did you see the Middle Tennessee Kennesaw State game last night?
I didn't, but if I did, I probably would have fallen asleep in the first or second quarter.
14-5. The score at the end of the first quarter was 7-2.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm asking, who hit a grand slam?
Well,
because everybody else is hitting them in the playoffs. The score was 14-5. Folks, that was the final. Kennesaw State scored two in the first and three in the fourth. What? That sounds like baseball.
Yeah.
Scored two in the first, three in the fourth. They scored 5 points.
See, and I'm sitting here thinking, too, like, if you're Middle Tennessee State, are you upset that you gave up 5 points to Kennesaw State? Like, you're not, that's not supposed to happen, right?
Yeah.
Or you only scored 14 against them.
Well, how bad is Conference USA, though?
Really bad.
Man, I mean, if you win that conference,
Well, this is what happens when you start putting all these power conferences together. We get all these weak ones, and I guess it's easier to say, you're in a weak conference, so you're not going to get into the postseason because we want to put another SEC team in.
Clash of the Titans tonight, though.
Mm-hmm.
In the conference, 2-0 Western Kentucky versus 2-0 Sam Houston from Conference USA.
Did you know Western Kentucky's the Hilltoppers?
Yes, I did.
Not Manhattan?
Did you know?
The Western Kentucky
He called Manhattan the Hilltoppers. Where? What hill?
They're on top of it.
What hill?
You can't see it. You just see them.
Manhattan. Are they the Hilltoppers? I don't think so.
Highest point in New York City is in Staten Island. 400 feet.
But they're the Hilltoppers.
Well, where the hell is the Jasper at?
Highest natural point in Manhattan is Bennett Park. It's 265 feet above sea level.
That's that hill.
So your feet are wet.
Yeah. That's what it means. You got to get over the hill to get there, though.
They would be the inclines, not even the hilltop.
It's like in baseball.
Manhattan inclines.
It's like in basketball in the beginning of the movie where they're talking about teams moving and they're like, what was it? The Milwaukee or the Lakers moved to LA where there are no lakes. And it says, the New Orleans Jazz moved to Utah where they don't allow music. And it's like, okay, I get it. I get what's going on here. This is, yikes.
Yeah, Lakers. Yeah.
There are no lakes in L.A.
Well, they were Minneapolis, right? Yeah. Minnesota, Minneapolis.
Minneapolis Lakers, right? Yeah.
I didn't like them then.
Well, they had, I mean, back then they had what? You had some.
I don't know. I don't remember the Minnesota, Minneapolis Lakers. I wanted to laugh.
Where's Ed at? Ed. You
play. And Tamper.
You don't know how egregious I'm going to Tamper Bayer. I'm going to start just putting R's on the end of everything.
Oh, big show planned for you today. Our buddy Todd Kopovich will join us in the 8 o'clock hour. Jim Duquette is going to talk about what's going on in baseball. Maybe he'll tell us why. Maybe he will explain to us how Juan Soto is a Gold Glove finalist. The best line of the day was Stephanie. Well, why isn't Cedric Mullins a Gold Glove finalist over Juan Soto? Because he plays center, he plays right. We'll move Cedric Mullins to center, to right.
No, he should still
make
be,
him a finalist.
He should still be winning in center.
But on the other side, Amari Cooper, Devontae Adams, on the move. We'll let you weigh in on that Mr. Wide Receiver over there. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
We had a real good chance to get to 3-3 and win a home game. Kind of gave that one away. I was pissed driving home. Had a couple messages. I was just not in the mood to talk to anybody. Got home, and Tay had called me. So I finally called him back. And so about, I don't know, 12:45 last night, I heard the news.
Heard the news. And what's the news? The news is Aaron Rodgers getting his quarterback back. I mean, his wide receiver back, I should say. Your thoughts on this, Jeremy?
Man, on their day off, he done got Mike Williams fired. He gets the coach fired last week, and then now this. It sounds like they're going to try to move Mike Williams. Look, I love Devontae Adams. You know what this feels like?
What's it feel
like? That they just changed the first letter from the Nets to a J. I remember when the Nets acquired all those old-ass basketball players and basically ruined their future for acquiring Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and the rest of these cats. That's what this feels like. But again, they're still in the division, even with the loss on Monday night. It's an ugly division. I think the Bills wind up being better for what they got in Amari Cooper, because I don't think he's done yet. But again, I just don't like... I don't know that we're going to see the Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams that you saw in Green Bay 4 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, Aaron Rodgers hasn't thrown for 300 yards since 2021.
True.
So, again, I don't know what to expect.
I know what to expect. Not a whole lot. I mean, listen, I love Aaron Rodgers. You know that. I love him. But when you start going out of your way for aging players, well, not for aging players, for old players, because that's what he is.
He's a 31-year-old receiver.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I mean, people laugh about Aaron Rodgers being the oldest player in the league at 40. Well, Devontae Adams is only 9 years younger than him. And I'm not saying that's old, but this is what you're building your team around. You have no future.
Well, and the way they set this up, too. So,
and you're not good, by the way.
Yeah.
That's the problem. The problem is you're not good.
So the other issue with this is Devontae Adams restructured his contract, so he could end up being a free agent at the end of the year. Depending on how things go, they'll rework that thing and get it done or sign him to an extension. So he could become a free agent in the offseason now, and there's escalators in this deal. It's a fourth-round pick. Depending on how Adams plays, it could easily become a second-round pick. If Adams looks anything like he's looked in years past, I think they're getting a second round for him. Because there's a lot of people going, man, they only gave up a fourth round?
Yeah.
So... So
you like the Cooper fits way better.
They need to have a guy out there that you can go to on third down. And I'm not, look, Keon Coleman, you can't thrust this kid into a situation and say you got to be the guy right off the bat. I mean, he's still, we all liked him coming out of college.
Oh, yeah, we love him.
But as a deep ball guy, he's still got some things he's got to work out at this level, understanding with running routes and things like that, and, ball placement, what they need him to be. But as far as route running goes, like I talk about Keenan Allen, Devontae Adams, Amari Cooper's in the top five is route running. He's that good at it. It's just he had a quarterback in Cleveland that couldn't find him and get him the ball. I bet you Amari Cooper goes off with Buffalo.
Well, that's what he did in Cleveland. Remember when he first got there?
Yeah.
He went off. He's that kind of guy that when you get rid of me, I got something to prove.
Same thing in Oakland when he went to Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just how he is. I forgot about that. He was in Dallas first. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Dallas traded him?
I think they traded him, but it could have been... I'm pretty sure they traded him. It may have been his contract running out, though.
Okay.
And they didn't want to sign him, but I thought they traded him before that, so yeah. I could be wrong, though.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right.
But the other point of this is, like, you're starting to look at some of these trades that have gone down. Now Mike Williams becomes available. We have the finger pointing of, did he run the wrong route? I don't care if he ran the wrong route or not. It's like, why are you running a blind throw play when you got 2 minutes left to go in the game?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you want to do? You want to throw blindly to an area when they're in a prevent? And, oh, by the way, I keep talking about it. Psst. Look at your check down. Breece Hall is
wide
butt naked open.
Wide
open. Throw him the damn ball, and he probably runs for 25, 30 yards and gets you in field goal range.
He was absolutely wide open, and you didn't hit him. I don't get it. I mean, Aaron, you're better than this. You are. You're better than this.
See, I thought in the Tennessee game he started to click, and maybe that's the guy we were going to see.
Uh-huh.
He still hasn't been very good. Aaron Rodgers doesn't throw interceptions, and this year, you know what he does? He throws interceptions.
Well, when's the last time he threw for 300 yards?
Again, 2021. He hasn't been the same player. Poor Garrett Wilson's like, finally, me and Aaron going to... Who's it? Oh, he got his new girlfriend's here? All right, that's cool.
Like Tommy said on Power, you got a new bitch?
Yeah, that's what happened.
We go start hanging out with some other dude. You got a new bitch?
I mean, you were talking too. Like, so Cam Akers got traded.
Yeah.
That's an interesting
one.
This is
the second year in a row that the Vikings have made a running back trade.
Mm-hmm. I mean, typically you're not giving up much for it, and I think they probably wanted to get rid of him. I mean, he scored a touchdown the other week. I'm just surprised that they're moving on because I worry about Joe Mixon's health the entire season. I mean, after the first game, you missed him for a couple of weeks. Or the second game. I'm trying to remember when he got hurt. But we'll see if we have more trades. But you're seeing that the deal with these guys is the way that their contracts were structured, that they could restructure to make the deal work. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys in situations that you just can't trade for, because if you trade for them and their signing bonus money comes all the way to the front and it's going to hurt, then you got to restructure that deal, give them an extension to try to... Like, trades are difficult in the NFL. It's kind of odd that we saw... Was it just three yesterday? Or was there... There's probably some smaller ones, yeah, too. But
yeah. Definitely some smaller ones. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. What is the deadline? Are you expecting maybe the Ravens to make any moves?
I mean, it's, you got to have the right dance partner, right? Like, if they were making a move, are we sitting here talking about secondary help? Is that what you think? Pass rush?
Yeah. And by the way, the deadline is 4 p.m. on Election Day. So,
Oh, that'll be a fun
day. NFL once again steals the news.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about this one. You think they're stealing the news that day? This might be the largest.
They offer the biggest smoke screen in the history of elections.
And by the way, if anybody wants the gambling side of things.
For the election?
Yeah, you can gamble on the election. About 3 weeks ago, it was almost even money, or Kamala was favored. And since then, Trump's moved up. He's moved like 30 or 40 points, way more money coming in on him as of late. This should be fun. I just think it's leading to more and more. If Trump doesn't win, we get more stolen election stuff. So we'll see. But right now, he's the favorite, and I'm not going to call him a prohibited favorite, but
doesn't it depend on where you look, though?
What do you mean?
Because, I mean, I've looked at some books that say it's the opposite.
Well, that would have been just not that long ago, 3 weeks
ago.
No,
I'm saying like 2 days ago, they said that, like, depending on where you go, you're getting different odds depending on where you go.
You can get different odds, but I don't
think... Like, just like any poll that you read, is one poll will say one thing and then one will say another.
Well, also, you got to read this, too, because like when it comes into something like this, the money movement is going to cause the line to go up, because if they get money on the other side...
That's a good point.
What they want is they want it to even out, because if you get it 50-50, you just take all the vig in. You just win whatever juice is on it.
That's wild, man. Yeah. I can't believe that's so crazy.
Folks, we're talking about
betting on elections.
Betting on elections. Now, in most things, so what we're saying is the election isn't fixed.
Yeah, right.
Are there referees?
But in everything that's gambling, there's a question of whether or not it's fixed.
Yeah.
So, it's just odd, isn't it? Yeah. It's not fixed. Hey, I'm putting $100 on Kamala, yeah.
I just saw a
heavy, but it's not fixed.
I think it was Dave Mason, one of the sports book guys, was writing. I think they just took a $750,000 bet on Donald Trump. I mean, big time money coming in on the election.
What a world!
You can bet on everything.
What a world! Reactions to Kevin Willis' comments on money and the transfer portal. We'll do that at 6:45. But on the other side, speaking of Rodgers, he said Adams' trade proves the Jets are all in. Do the Ravens need the same type of mindset? Can they successfully build for the future while proving they're all in to win this season? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Fan.
Yeah, listen, he infuses a lot of energy into the team right away. He's a proven star player. He's an asset. He's an incredible locker room presence. This move lets everybody know, hey, it's on us now, because we're going all in, and it's our time to go out there and win games, get on a run, which, you know, we all feel deep down is going to happen.
See, Aaron, I like you. I like you. And what you're saying, at 2-4, you're all in, okay, you're all in what? Because I'm thinking you're not going to win the division, so you're going to get in as a wild card team.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to get in as a wild card team, you don't have a lot of losses left in you. You can't lose a lot more games. So I wonder all in what. The wild card teams last year were the Dolphins with 6 losses, the Browns with 6 losses, and the Steelers with 7 losses.
Damn, I forgot the Browns got in.
Yeah, yeah. Remember the Browns lost to the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
And right now you're sitting at 4 losses. So the team, the last place wildcard team last year had 7. It sounds good that you're all in right now, but all in what, Jeremy? I don't know. I don't know if it's too little, too late. Maybe if they win that game Monday, and I know people talk about the easy schedule, but the Steelers ain't ever easy, especially when you're going to Pittsburgh in primetime.
They're switching quarterbacks, too?
Oh, my God. Please, God, don't let that happen. They're going to, though. Okay, you got at the Patriots. Okay, all right. Then you can play the Texans. Then you go to Arizona. You don't know what Arizona team you're going to get. Then you have Indy. Then you have Seattle. You're at Miami. You don't know whether Tua's going to be back yet. Okay, at Jacksonville. I mean, it's not an easy schedule.
Yeah, the Bills' loss at home really hurts because, you know, you're expected to win your home games. But in a division where the division's wide open, you made a move to better your team, or at least what you believe bettered your team. Bills did the same thing, and they've got a 2-game lead on you and a win at your place. So I don't think the division's out of grasp, but man,
it's not realistic.
That's an uphill climb.
So my question to you is, he's going to try to go all in, win this year. Is that a mindset you want for the Ravens? Okay, they went to the AFC Championship game last year. They were at home. They missed out on it. The quote unquote air quote Super Bowl window is still open.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want them to have that mindset, go all in right now in the win, and not really know what next year or year after that's going to hold? Because that's what the Jets are right now.
I mean, I guess you have to. You got a 40-some-year-old quarterback, and you just traded for a 31-year-old receiver. And we'll see. Like, there's kind of no excuses right now, right? Like, they revamped their offensive line. Not saying it's the end all be all or anything. Breece Hall, we finally saw him have a good game on Monday night, so maybe that's a good sign to come. You've got one of the best young receivers in football, and now you got one of the best old receivers in football. And you've got this quarterback that, again, people forget, he's coming off of a horrific injury.
Yeah, he is.
Achilles injury is a bitch to come back
from. 40 years old is tough to recover. But my point is, would you want to see the Ravens have that type of mindset? Well, we don't care. We're just throwing everything in the middle of the table. Let's win now. If we don't have any chips left next year, so be it.
So I'm not sure the Jets had any more options. I mean, you've put so much time and effort into this thing. You've got a quarterback who is in the November of his career whenever he figures out he wants to walk away. So, yeah, I think their situation is a little bit different. I don't mind the Ravens like saying, hey, we're all in this year and going to make a trade. But you have to find the right trade partner. Davante Adams had been out there for a while, and they only gave up a 4th round that turns into a 2nd to get him eventually.
I don't think they needed him.
I don't either. I'm just saying, that's why I'm saying with the Ravens, if we hear, whatever, some team wants to move on from one of their cornerbacks, and you're like, well, damn, I'd take him. I'd take him on this squad, or even a safety if you feel like something else is, you know, that's what you need back there. Anything they could do. Like the Jets right now, you got Hassan Reddick still sitting. That guy's a difference maker on a defense that you have is really good, and they can't figure that out. So now he's got, I mean, he had 12 hours to work out a trade.
See, I don't think the Ravens all in would suggest that they have nothing for next year. You know why?
Because they still have Lamar.
Because they still have Lamar. And you still have Kyle Hamilton on the defensive side. Roquan Smith's locked up in a contract. See, their situation, the Ravens can go all in without mortgaging the future.
But that's why it makes it difficult, because the more and more of these long-term contracts you have, especially if you're backloading them, it makes it, this is why it's chess. Like, you've got, making a move now could affect you from making a move 2 years from now. And again, some people will say, well, that's not important. Right now is important. I get it. But to me, football is a lot different than baseball and trying to add and make sure that you're keeping up with the Joneses.
Right.
Where, I mean, you could look at the situation and say, we don't have a pass rusher, and say, we need to get one. And there might not be anybody trading a pass rusher. You can say, I need a starting pitcher, and you'll find somebody moving a starting pitcher. May not be of the caliber you want, but you could still better your team. So I think that's the problem in the NFL. It has to be a perfect dance partner,
yeah,
or somebody that's willing to give up way too much so the other team takes on, you know, a hit, whether it's cash or restructuring them and making something work.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. See, shout out to Eric DaCosta, because you talked about playing chess. He plays chess pretty well.
Yeah.
He manages to balance that. We got guys on the roster who their points of their career where they want to win now, Kyle Van Noy and all these guys. But you have, I mean, don't get me wrong, everybody wants to win. But Lamar Jackson's window and Van Noy's window is completely different.
Absolutely.
Jackson wants to win for a different reason. Jackson wants to win for legacy.
So to your point, having a Lamar Jackson, having a Patrick Mahomes, hell, I'll even start putting C.J. Stroud and some of these other guys' names in that group. Once things go awry and you pay that guy, it still gives you an opportunity to get in,
yeah,
and win. Even it's you still. Anytime you have a marquee quarterback, you have a chance to win your division and get a home playoff game. But again, this is when we go back to last year. Last year was the perfect year where everything was coming together. I don't want to bring it up and get everybody upset, but that was the year.
It's the truth, though.
And this should be the year where you're going, hey, can we repeat? And to your point, when you're trying to get that second or third one in there, you see teams go, okay, we may not get it, and we may be in trouble in 2 years, but we're doing something right now.
Right, and that's the thing. But that's what scares me, Jeremy. And you've seen this in sports. Sometimes you can have an opportunity that's so good, that's mapped out for you so well, that if you miss out on that opportunity, you'll never get another one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that's the Ravens. I don't believe it is. But I didn't believe it was with those other teams in that situation either. But this was the moment. You got to cash in. I'll go to a team, I think the Lakers, back in 2020. That was their moment.
Mm-hmm.
That was that team's window. Even though it was an abbreviated, crazy situation, that was their moment.
See, in the NBA,
they cashed in on it.
The NBA is way easier to make trades with the soft salary cap.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you send back an expiring contract and it works.
But nobody wants to play with James like that anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to play with LeBron like that. I mean, I'm not saying he's a cancer. I'm just nobody's running to play for with
but
him
that's
now.
What I'm saying. You
that
have
was
these,
their time.
You have those aging vets. And granted, Anthony Davis is still young, but I'd hate to see Anthony Davis in his mid-30s.
Because right.
If he's hurt now, what's he going to be then?
But like the Big Show.
But the same thing with LeBron, though. As you're getting older, your window starts to close. And it seemed like it was really important for him to play with Bronny, which you're going to see that on opening night next Tuesday.
And see, for me, that's kind of where I wonder if the Ravens are. Things were ironed out for them so perfectly last year. It was almost like, you know, no pun intended, scripted. And at some point at the end of the year, they didn't follow the script. And now you wonder, man, is it? And the NFL will know, Jeremy, by week 12, 13, 14, who is lined up for. It may not be the Ravens, but you'll start to see that team step up. Oh, it's lined up for them to win this thing this year.
See, I wonder if general managers are like, being that in football and trying to make it work. Like, I'm sure DaCosta likes Harbaugh, loves Harbaugh, whatever, the relationship is there. But when you're giving them all the ingredients that you think you need to win and you don't, I would look at it and go, I can't do much more than this. And there are still people that bitch about some of the things. Free agency. Again, I'll go back to free agency and why the Ravens don't make big splashes is because they draft so well and you're constantly making the decision of which one of your players you want to keep.
We're talking about the Gold Glove finalists at 7 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. But on the other side, Kevin Willard spoke to the media yesterday. He talked about the importance of NIL and the transfer portal. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show, talking Terps hoops on the Fan. Man, I don't even want to talk over this. 6:48 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris down in Florida. Kevin Willard spoke to the media yesterday during Big Ten Media Day, and Kevin was quite transparent.
There's two big factors in the transfer portal, money and money. So last year going into the season, we didn't have any money. So we couldn't really be overly aggressive in the transfer portal. And this year, thanks to Damon, I have a great group of guys that run the collective. We were able to be more aggressive in the portal because we had more money. So it's kind of a bad cop-out, and I apologize for the excuse. I don't like it, but the reality of the situation is that we had more money to be more aggressive early in the portal than we were before.
Man, it's not a bad cop-out. By the way, I stand corrected. It was Maryland's media day, not Big Ten. It's not a cop-out, Jeremy.
No.
Why do you get any players? We had no money.
I mean, he's basically telling you. And again, this goes back to some of the things that we've talked about. Just because you're offended doesn't make you right. And sometimes things can be said that are true that don't make you happy and make you uncomfortable to hear. Mm-hmm. But we've seen this in college. It's all about the cash. Look at all the different programs and what's going on and teams that are getting NIL money. Look at what we heard about at UNLV and how things can go wrong there. And the only reason I bring up UNLV is that I'm not saying Maryland and UNLV are on the same level, but in college football, maybe it's a little bit closer. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I still think Maryland's better. College basketball, Maryland should be a step above them, in my opinion. But it was nice to see them go out and make some moves because there are other teams that are killing it in the transfer portal.
Yeah, they are. But they have the money.
Yeah.
By the way, the NCAA, I convinced the NCAA coach yesterday that they don't need the NCAA.
They don't.
Because there are new rules coming. And I'm like, why do you guys put up with these rules? what do you mean? The rules by the NCAA. Who's the NCAA? I mean, who are they?
Yeah.
They set rules to make you pay for them to set rules that make no sense for you guys, and you guys just continue to do it. The only sports that need the NCAA are the Olympic sports. And I know basketball is in the Olympics, but you know what I mean by the Olympic sports.
It's different, though, because you have your whole professional level that you can get to where, in some of these other sports, we're talking about track and field, I know they have certain things that they can do, even lacrosse and some of these other sports, but if we're being honest, like if you want to put together a pie chart of where the money's coming from, basketball and football at most universities are going to be right up at the top, eating up most of that pie.
Now, Coach Bullitt talked about how they were able to be more effective in this offseason because they had more money. But don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted. He's not a big favor of the new system.
It's a broken system right now. It really is. Anybody thinks that's not is not in it every day and not dealing with it. I think the only way that this actually gets fixed is if it gets all blown up and we start over somehow, some way. I don't know if that's within the NCAA, without the NCAA. I don't know if that's. But I think for the best for the players, the best for the fans, best for coaches, it's funny. We've had 7 NBA general managers come here and say, I don't know how you guys do this. We have guys on 6-year contracts, 5-year contracts. We know how to mix and match what to do. And he said, you guys, you're literally on a 6-month contract. So it is what it is. I think we've done a great job putting together a really good roster that I'm excited about. But I think my honest opinion, and I know, I don't blame everybody. No one listens to me. But unless it gets blown up and totally reconstructed, it's going to be like this forever.
As I clean my teeth with my toothpaste.
Yeah, he said the quiet part out loud.
Say it again, Jeremy. As I perked up.
Whether it's with or without the NCAA.
It's got to be without them. It's got to be without them. Folks, there has to be collective bargaining in college sports now. Get over it. Get over it. College sports are no longer, and if you have that, if you bring that into the mix, Jeremy, guess what? It'll resemble college athletics again. It will.
Yeah.
They will resemble college athletics again. Well, how could collective bargaining? Because what did the NBA general manager say? We have people on 5 or 6 year contracts. You have collective bargaining. You know what? This NIL is a contract. You have to be here for at least 2 years. Now, if you jump ship and go to the pros, I don't hold you back on that. If you can go pro after 1 year in basketball, then go. But if you're going to play college basketball, you have to play here for at least 2 years.
I mean, look, I can see a lot of these things coming in. I bring it up all the time. You're the first person that started talking about why do you need the NCAA? And it's like, well, because they're the ones that, well, hell. Wait a minute. They don't need them.
You don't need them.
But, you know, like now hearing.
You're paying someone unnecessarily to do what?
Now, you love when I go to Office Space. It's like the guy that created the jump to conclusions, Matt, when he was getting fired. They say, what do you do here? And he's like, I'm a people person. I go from these people to these people, and I bring them the information, but I do it in a certain way. I'm a people person. And he's screaming about it. And he goes, Yeah, I don't need him anymore. Why can't they just take it to them? Because they're not people persons. You know, it's just, it's funny to me, like, sitting here talking about something that we've all just kind of going, yeah, yeah, we need that. We need that. They got to be here. Never thought about getting rid of them, where you're going, they don't. Why are they, why do you have like a separate, I mean, it is, it's a separate company telling you what you can and can't do. What do they bring to the table? Structure? Is that it?
What kind of structure?
Well, I'm just saying, like, I mean, I don't know. Are they the ones that first put in the rules and we just ran with it? You know, like, it's somebody sitting at home going, how are we still making money off of this, man?
I just think it's silly. It's the dumbest thing ever. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let me ask you this real quick, Jeremy. If you knew you had to pay a certain amount of taxes a year and there was no IRS, but you knew you had to pay those taxes. That's just what it is. There are consequences for not paying them, but there's no IRS.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you delegate where that tax money went on your own?
Yeah.
You would still pay them.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you may be more willing to, because now you can pay those taxes on what you want and still get credit for them, all right?
Yeah.
The NCAA is the IRS. I'm going to pay my taxes anyway. I don't need you.
You know,
I don't need you to take, let me take my taxes and delegate them where I want to go. I'm going to pay them, but who are you to tell me where they go?
I think
that's the NCAA. Who are you to tell me? That's what it is.
I can see them as the IRS, but I think they're more like the DoorDash and Grubhub. It's like, we're going to make you, oh, this is what you guys charge? Well, we're going to charge this and we'll take whatever over the top. Plus, we're going to charge you a fee to do this as well.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Except, nothing. And they're not even the ones bringing, you're the one supplying the car and driving around. They're just, they just have an app and collect the money.
You can't deliver unless you have the DoorDash SIM.
Yeah.
You don't work for them, but you got to have the logo on your car. If not, you can't deliver.
It's just, yeah, again, I never even thought about it. It's one of those things out of sight, out of mind. It's like, oh yeah, it's NCAA. That's NCAA.
World of Stupid at 7:30, but on the other side, the Gold Glove. Let's see, the Orioles have two Gold Glove finalists, and they both deserve it. The problem is, they should have three. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.